Thanks for downloading a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned for your 3CR podcast.
Living free.
Thanks to Resonant Frequency Radio for another great show and playing tracks and chatting with local NAM artists. Welcome to Living Free. This is a one-hour show in which we highlight one of the many programs that assist in the recovery from drugs, alcohol, gambling and food and relationship addictions. Our guests share their recovery story that usually highlights that through shared experience we can save lives. You're listening to 3CR Community Radio on 855 on your AM dial and 3CR on digital radio and live streaming on 3cr.org.au. Hi, my name's Bill and today I'm joined in the studio by my co-host Michael.
Hi Michael. Afternoon.
We'd like to acknowledge the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation, traditional owners of the land from which 3CR broadcasts our show. Also to pay respects to their elders past and present and to acknowledge that their material and spiritual connection to this land was stolen and their sovereignty was never ceded. I'd also like to remind you that Living Free Show may involve discussion of topics such as suicide, mental illness, self-harm and family violence. These topics may be distressing to some people, so please consider your well-being while listening. Unfortunately, our guest that we'd lined up for today is not well. So we thought we'd play a few history grabs from earlier shows, some from 2016 and some from 1999, because as you may know, 3CR is coming up to its 50th anniversary this year, and we'd like to sort of go back and, I guess, over the next couple of months, just look at some of the people who've been involved in the show and hopefully have a few people on and talk about what it was like in the old days on Living Free and what was originally Stone Free. So I thought we'd do first up, we'll take a grab, a 6-minute grab from a show from 2016 and we'll go from there.
Okay, the surprise ending. So Archie's left, Daz has left. And Baz has not arrived.
Not yet.
But we have Peter and Tanya.
Hello.
He's back again. This is part two. This is a rematch from the last.
Yeah, God,
my voice sounds very loud on the speakers. Are you hearing yourself okay with the?
I am. Yeah.
Okay, that's good. Well,
all
I'll put
good.
Your voice up. I've got a really loud voice, so I'll put it down a little bit. So, yeah, Baz will be here along in a minute, and it'll be the triangle of self obsession. That was actually used to be my favourite. My favourite sort of leaflet from Narcotics Anonymous, from NA, you know, because it was a real mind, you know, it was a bit like when I'm programming Al-Anon, you know, because having an alcoholic upbringing, like, really? You know, sort of like, well, you know. So, yeah, we program the Al-Anon. Hopefully Al-Anon will be panelling their own shows. They're very
That'd be
professional.
Really good.
You know,
absolutely.
I'm total amateur still. I know the on and off switch and that's about it.
That's it.
Anything beyond that is sort of, you know.
You do all right.
So, but you're a natural as well, you know. I mean, Baz has had experience coming on the show because we've sort of, you know, known each other. The Cheesecake Man, I used to call him.
Yeah. The Cheesecake Man.
Oh, gosh. So, listen, we've been off air. We've been outside sort of off air and we're talking about experiences and stuff like that and you know, like you know, age wise, you know, but we got this thing in common.
We do. We really do.
And in case anyone was just tuned in and don't know what the hell we're talking about, this is a show about drug and alcohol. It's about recovering from drug and alcohol.
Yep.
And we used to be called the Stone Free Show.
Okay.
And Kutcher used to join in on that. Kutcher, who's been part of this show for a long time. He used to come in and join our show sometimes as well. So, but Tony waving out through the window there. And you know, me and Ross and Lester, we got to sort of a point where, you know, it wasn't really about not being stoned. It was about living free. It was about
absolutely
sort of living free, where you don't actually, you're not enslaved to a drink or a drug.
Exactly.
You know, and that's what changed. We were talking off air about, what I think is really good in my life turns out to be a nightmare, and what I think is in total, screw up, like the addiction and all that, has turned out
ends
to be
up
the
being
blessing.
A blessing. Yes.
So I think that's the sort of the big message. And Jude had a lot of input on that too, is the fact that, it's really about what we do after using drugs. You don't have to be a slave to anything.
No, you don't.
And
the world's your oyster.
It really is. It really is. But I think a lot of people are in that sort of fear of getting out of ruts and changing and stuff like that. And
replacing one addiction with another.
That's right.
That's it, yeah.
It was all new to me. I mean, as a heroin addict, I just wanted to end it all. I literally wanted to end it all. And, paramedics would revive me. I was dead half an hour the last time. And I really think my spirit had given up wanting to live in my body. It had said, I've had enough. I'm not going to go through any more of this shit anymore. And really, it was being the coward that I am, I thought, well, that's quite an easy way to go,
It is the easy way out.
Yeah,
isn't
it is
really?
The easy way out.
It is.
And but really, it's I had to go through it.
Yeah. Well, you
and
have to go through it to grow.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sort of looking and thinking, God, I'm so old and you're so young.
And, I'm not that young.
yeah. Well, so I'm finding out. but the fact is that I was nearly 50.
Yeah.
When I got clean. So it's wonderful to see younger people, younger people, finding getting a life.
That freedom.
That much quicker, whereas I thought I was having a life, but really I was stoned and I missed it.
You were existing, not living.
That sort of thing, it was John Lennon said that, life's what's passing you by, I'm thinking, my life is what's passing you by when you're going off to the dealer, or when you're waiting for the dealer.
Absolutely. Sitting there in anxiety.
absolutely, And, you hate this person, And, and you're just cursing away and they arrive and you go, oh mate,
I love you.
How are you? How's the wife? And the worst thing was they'd go off for Christmas, they'd leave you hanging and they'd go off to, for a few days on, for Christmas or do something like that. And, and there was, someone selling really shitty dope that they'd had to do.
Yeah, exactly. Make do.
I don't have to deal with that world anymore, But you can't leave that world.
You can leave that world.
You can, all we say is you can leave these rooms you can never have to use again.
Yeah.
And, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing and traveling and doing all those things if I was still using. I wouldn't be doing that. I wouldn't be. I mean, I'd burnt out in the music industry. No one wanted to hire me anymore. And my sax was in the hock shop anyway. I thought that's all I had.
Yeah, well, you do.
The only self-esteem I had, I was still working as a musician.
Yeah.
And even that was...
It's that external.
Taken away. Yeah. So all I could look forward to was... stumbling off to get my methadone and then going out to, being sort of well enough to thieve for my next hit. And that was the day.
That was it, yeah.
And then bomb out in front of the TV set until the next day, and that just like...
Groundhog Day.
Never leave myself anything for the morning. Never could. Never
could. Oh, no, you never can. Always plan to, but never can.
That's right. So does that sort of... You seem to be she's nodding
absolutely,
away like crazy,
totally.
Folks.
I know, it was those two choices I was given, like jails, institutions and death.
That's
or
right.
Happy, joyous and free.
Yeah, I've never
it's
heard
a no-brainer.
Before.
Yeah.
That's a clever little... Happy, joyous
happy,
and free.
Joyous
and we're
and
well
free.
On our way.
Yeah, we are.
That's the NA creed, isn't it, sort of thing? You
exactly.
see, because I know too much about the AA, so that's my problem, I've
got
I learnt my stuff through that, really. I mean, I'm not saying I didn't learn the NA stuff, but sometimes, the Serenity Prayer or something like that. Well, the Serenity Prayer is the same.
It is the same,
The third step prayer from AA is the one that I always...
Yes.
That, I slip up on the other one.
And that was part of a recording from August 2016. With Peter and Tanya. Peter was the host, Tanya was the guest, and they were talking about life in NA, Narcotics Anonymous, and Alcoholics Anonymous. So, Michael, listening to the show back then, it was more about a discussion.
It's a conversation, wasn't it?
A conversation, rather than what we do today, where we sort of allow the guest to be the focus.
Oh, I think actually I'm a bit like Pete was in the way I did the show. No, it was the natural flow of the conversation backwards and forwards. It was was interesting to. I struggled to know who the guest was. So, to listen to. But they brought up all this stuff.
Yeah.
They brought up all the things that actually, they brought up things that don't necessarily come out of when you're actually asking people questions.
No, that's right. Yeah. It's personal. It's your own personal experience and feeding that back into the conversation. Yeah.
Yeah, so because it was really natural. It was. Yeah. He said, you know, they talked about the cycle,
yep.
And they talked about a lot of they're doing the same, doing something you really don't want to do, and then smiling while you're doing it,
yep.
And then not feeling good about yourself, and so therefore needing to use whatever it is you're going to use.
Yeah. Well, the other one was all the things you thought were the right things were the wrong things. I think that's covers Al-Anon as well, because it's all about control, trying to stop people doing things, trying to stop the alcoholic drinking, trying to fix up what they've done. And you get to Al-Anon and they say it's not about them, it's about you. And you go, oh, okay, so I shouldn't be doing that stuff. And they go, it's not helping you. And you go, oh yeah, it's not. And you start doing things that you enjoy, and the alcoholic problem becomes less. It turns from a mountain to a molehill. Yeah. And you get on with your life.
Yeah, it's not sort of the main focus of what's of your mind.
No.
And yeah, I know that for me, any problem I focus on gets worse.
Yep.
And any problem I think I'll fix gets worse.
Yeah.
And the AA program for me is to be not looking at the problem. I should be going off and doing the program, and that problem dies of neglect.
Yep.
Absolutely dies.
Yeah.
No, I thought that their conversation. I did enjoy the flow of the fact that it was backwards and forwards, the idea that what you said that thinking is that I have no idea what's good for me.
Yeah.
Like it's my thinking that actually got me to AA.
Yeah.
My drinking got me there, but really was the thinking that led up to drinking.
Yeah.
You know, I have a physical difference that makes me drink once I start, but really I'd never picked up the first drink drunk. I picked up the first drink sober.
Yep.
And the brain wants to kill me.
Yep. Yeah. Recovery is all about what's in your mind. It is a thinking problem. Thinking that you're in control is really, it's counterproductive, because you keep on trying to control the uncontrollable, yeah. And you just wear yourself out.
And there's no evidence to show that it works. That's the other thing about it, is that if I look back in my history over the things that I thought I had under control, it's just a lie. Every time I apply myself even harder to it, it gets worse. But I still do it. Like this insanity, like the word insanity is used in the program, and it's not the dumb things I do when I drink. It's the insane thinking that I have that this time it'll be different. I'm going to apply a skill set that doesn't work.
Yep.
and I've got all the evidence that shows you that it doesn't work, and I'm just going to do it harder.
Yep.
That was really good to listen to them talk about that.
Yeah. Okay, well, so we might have a break.
There are all kinds of reasons people end up with issues with alcohol and other drugs, and it's nothing new. Hi, I'm Professor Scott Wilson from the not-for-profit Aboriginal Drug and Alcohol Council. What always helps is to reflect on what life might be like without the substance abuse, and then take action. Step one is simple. See your GP or drug and alcohol worker and ask for help today. You can visit us at adac.org.au.
A 3CR supporter.
What we're dealing with here is a total lack of respect for the law.
Tune in to Done by Law.
An informal and irreverent look at the law. Critical insights and analysis. From diverse community perspectives.
Done by Law, 6 p.m. Tuesdays.
Ah, hi. We're back. You're listening to the Living Free Show on 3CR Community Radio. 855 kilohertz on your AM dial.
We'll edit that bit out.
And 3CR with digital radio. If you'd like to listen to one of our many podcasts, you can find us on your preferred podcast platform or just search 3CR Living Free and check out our webpage. Today we're doing a bit of a history of Living Free. We're replaying a show from 2016, which I'm going to play a second half of the excerpt that we have, and then we'll have a chat about that as well.
So tell us a bit, I mean, what out of those things that I was dropping on you?
I don't know. I think, you know, life prior wasn't life. It was life was what I couldn't do. So, you know, I always say that I was existing, not living.
Right.
So you're just here, getting through the day, trying to get through all those emotions and feelings that are regular in life. And
anaesthetize those emotions and feelings.
So you didn't have to feel them.
Yeah. And what was happening to your self-esteem during this time?
I had no self-esteem. Absolutely no self-esteem, no voice.
Right.
Completely shattered.
Yeah.
Always looking for that external validation.
Yeah.
Just to feel better, using people.
We can imagine how I felt at my age. I was sort of ready to wash dishes in the halfway house somewhere. Yeah. You know, that was it, you know. In fact, I was, you know, very close to that. But, boy, you know, I mean, it's amazing because it really is a secret, I think.
Yeah.
It's a sort of really well-kept secret. We're not actually taught this stuff. And I think, you know, and I think because there's so much the money is on harm minimization.
Absolutely.
You know, in the rehab of the drug and alcohol thing. And they think we're really excessive because we have this sort of total abstinence policy.
Yeah.
You know, but boy, I mean, you know, you got to put the fire out. You don't want to leave it still smouldering away like a bushfire.
Yeah.
You know, you think you can have a, you know, cheeky little drop of red with your family or something and say, I'm cured now or something like this or, you know.
No, it's something you never cured.
On a
You're
beer
not
or
cured.
A, that's right. That's right. Yeah. It's there for life. And,
it is.
You know, and if you squeeze the balloon, I always think it's like a balloon. If you're not doing a proper program, you're squeezing the balloon and it'll pop out in some other way.
In another way,
sex,
exactly.
Gambling,
sex, shopping,
retail therapy.
You know, people.
That's right. There's many other ways
There's many other ways. You can get obsessive compulsive over anything.
Right. I've just ditched my – because I've been under all this stress with Sandy and stuff and – you know, I did my normal low-carb sort of detox diet. This is as close as I get to a detox. It's about food, you know.
Yeah.
And I just don't want to have a stroke and a heart attack in these countries that I'm in because
Absolutely.
There's no one's going to help me there.
No.
I'm going to be gone. There's no ambos to pick me up, you know. And so I sort of got into this habit. I didn't even realize I was doing it. But I was wanting something more nurturing.
Yeah.
And I'm a little bit of a Hindu. So the cat, we worship the cow, unlike you vegans. And I started swapping Coffee Mate for, like, you know, full cream powder milk. You've got to go the whole way, man, you know. Sort of like. And I started to do that, and I sort of got this thing. And when I was in active addiction with heroin, that's what I used to do. I used to shoplift, you know. I'd look fat because I'd put a big bag of full cream powder milk under my T-shirt and walk out. And I'd make a sort of a gruel. But this stuff with Sandy's been stressing me, and I was finding myself that I was using that. And then while I was waiting for the kettle to boil, I was popping a few spoonfuls straight into my mouth.
Yeah.
And my diet thing has become a total failure. Normally I can lose 8.5 kilos in 2 months. And I just had to, you know, now that the latest drama that's been going on, I've just had to back out and say, look, I just can't do it now.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's been like the first time was okay, the second time was exactly the same, nothing had changed.
Yeah.
So that's what I mean. I mean, it's such a simple thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's an obsessive compulsion.
It is an obsessive compulsion.
That is something missing if you don't do that.
It is. It's a void, empty void.
So, and we've got to get another guest coming in. Come in and join
us,
Baz.
He's arrived.
Come in, man. We've reserved your chair here. And bailed from my. You're on microphone one, so you can start talking on it. Just check your mic.
Hello, everyone.
He's puffed.
Hey,
he's totally
Hello,
puffed, man. He's come straight from working, you know.
Yeah.
So we're just talking about now being a total failure with my detox diet thing, you know.
Oh, okay.
Food wise, and I just I've just had
Is that
to
the sugar one or.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not doing the sugar.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm doing all the right thing. I'm drinking all the water. I'm doing all the food. But I was saying to Tanya that I've started to substitute powdered milk instead of Coffee Mate. What I'm doing while I'm waiting for the kettle to boil, I'm shoving about three or four heap spoonfuls straight down the you know, down my gob. Oh. And I haven't lost any in anyway. I'm leaving soon. So it's all been.
I'm not sure how that's going to help you.
Well, it's no.
Very high fat content.
But yeah, but what I'm trying to say is it was obsessive compulsive. I'm saying that,
okay,
that when you got the balloon, you know, if you're not really working the proper program, it'll come out in sex addiction, retail therapy,
of course,
you know, and gambling. It'll come out in another way.
And it always does.
It always does.
Yeah, you really have to keep an eye on it. But I love what I heard before. Happy, you heard, happy, and joyous. Yeah, I'm not sure if I've said this before, but everyone tells us, you know, look, we're looking for miracles. You know, look for miracles, look for miracles.
Yeah.
Now, I found my miracles in the people that came in the rooms with us, you know, at the time in 2005, 2006, who are still clean. Amy celebrated 10 years.
Yeah.
Sam celebrated 10 years. Elsa celebrating 10 years, you know.
Yeah,
these are my miracles.
Johnny
Hart.
Johnny Hart.
You know,
I've got to wait for
relax?
A rainy day so he doesn't have to use his lawnmowers. You know? Anyway, but I'm going to get him on because he's a major miracle.
He is.
So listen, we're going to wrap up, folks,
awesome.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
Lovely to have you guys on. It really has. It's a three, you know what I mean? We're not short for words here. Can't have dead air on the radio. You know?
We've got to find something to debate against. We're just too alive.
No, we can. We can do all that.
Some hardcore.
Maybe I can play the alcoholic, you can play the prescription medication addict, and you can play the heroin addict.
Right. Yeah, that's it.
Well, mine's better than yours.
I know. well, speaking of that sort of subject, so I'm going to put, we came in on Archie Roach.
Yes. Yeah.
And we're going to go out and Walking Into Doors by Archie Roach.
And that was the Living Free team from 2016, broadcast in August 2016. So, Michael, yes, the show's a little bit different to what it was back then. But Peter talked, I think, interestingly about how you change one obsession for another.
Yeah, I'm living that experience. I picked up cigarettes again in December, and like I hadn't had a cigarette since 2011. And it looked romantic to have a cigarette with my partner while we're away overseas, and I'm now a smoker again, and I'm doing it against my will, I have no power, that whole idea of powerlessness, I'm absolutely experiencing that, and I knew that's the way. I had this experience 18 months ago where I had a drag on a cigarette when we were away overseas, and I went, oh my God, that's why I gave it up.
Yeah.
It's so good. And I obsessed about it in my mind for the next 12 months. It was still there, and I hadn't had a cigarette for, so when they were talking about harm minimization and things like that, that idea that I can just, it'll get better. Absolutely. I absolutely identify with that stuff. It's that it plays out and it squeezes out in other areas of my life.
Yeah. We get involved in things, we get involved in causes, and we try and control situations. We think we know better or best.
Always best rather than better.
Best. And it means an awful lot of work. If you want to have your way, you've got to put the work in.
Yeah, the energy that I expel. Like there's some stuff out of the book Alcoholics Anonymous that tells me that we become more efficient. We don't burn up energy foolishly like we did when we tried to rearrange the world to suit ourselves. Because the amount of energy, the amount of mental energy and physical energy required, because my special skill is changing your mind.
Yep.
And I was particularly good at it, I thought. But the amount of energy that it takes to do that, to get my way.
Mm.
And when my way is wrong anyway, as we talked about in the first section, you know, I go, oh, my thinking's wrong anyway, but I'm going to spend so much energy getting it.
Mm. Yeah. And the other one is part of the recovery thing is understanding ourselves, which is so important because we're the ones who are creating the problems for ourselves by reacting to people and trying to stop them doing things or make them do things. Whereas if we just relax and accept that, respect their right to be different, I think is the thing I learned.
Respect their right to be wrong.
That's right. Respect their right to live their life the way they want to. If they want to drink and ruin their lives, in my opinion, that's fine. It's when it impacts me that I've got to make a decision. Do I want to aid this person, or do I want to just step away and go, no, you can do it on your own?
So what was your experience of how long did it take you to get into a mindset of being able to pause and stop yourself from doing that? Because they're learnt traits. We get into these learned behaviours and we get used to doing them. So what sort of time frame did it take you to be able to sit there and sit back? And because the words are really easy out of my mouth. I'm just going to do this. But actually, how long did it take you to get into a pattern of doing that?
Well, the thing is about the steps is that, you know, step 12 is having had a spiritual awakening. And the spiritual awakening is just a change of attitude sufficient to overcome the effects of whatever it is. And in my case, it was my dad's alcoholism. And part of that was respecting his right to be an alcoholic. Instead of trying to stop him and control him, it was just, okay, he's on his own. He's making his own decisions. He's, at that stage, he was 50-something or 60-something. And I'm thinking, here am I, you know, like a 22-year-old trying to tell somebody who's been through the Second World War how to live their life.
I guess it's results driven, isn't it? You try this skill set that doesn't work.
Yeah.
And eventually you get sick of the results you get.
Yeah.
So you've got to find a different way.
Well, it's Groundhog Day. Every day is Groundhog Day when you're dealing with an active alcoholic. Because no matter what you do, the response is the same.
Yeah, they drink.
They drink and they cause problems and they say things you don't want to hear and you get angry and you react.
Yep.
And so just understanding that if I don't react, I'm not upset. You know, I can live my life.
Yeah.
And it's that thing of being just not doing anything that will make the situation worse.
Yeah, my experience as an alcoholic is that I train the people around me to behave in a particular way, and what they do is then they act outside their moral compass. They act in ways that's not acceptable to them, and they are suffering from that same disease that I'm suffering from, the guilt, the shame, and the remorse that comes from doing things they don't want to be doing.
Yeah.
And so I love hearing the Al-Anon stories because when I set aside the drinking. Actually, the problem I have is my behaviour.
Yeah. So to get back to answer your question, I suppose it took about 3 months to realise that I was completely powerless against my dad's drinking, and that I just had to get on with my life. I could no longer postpone my life and sort of blame him for all the things that were wrong. I had to start taking responsibility for me, and I think that was the moment.
Did that require a period of separation from seeing him, or did you just continue the same relationship, like time-wise?
Same relationship. I think I moved out of home. I was still living at home. I moved out of home after about 6 months, and that gave me the breathing space to consolidate it. But while I was there, I was able to go, no, I can't continue to live this way.
Yeah.
And take responsibility for me, for my actions. Yeah.
It's an opportunity to grow up.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. We'll drop off to another song.
The fuel crisis is putting growing pressure on our services and the people who rely on them. As prices for staple like oil and flour soar, donations are dropping, but the demand is rising. For thousands of refugee families with no government support, the Asylum Seeker Resource Center is the only safety net left. Please donate today at asrc.org.au. Together, we keep the safety net strong. The Asylum Seeker Resource Center is a 3CR supporter.
This is the Living Free Show on 3CR Digital Radio, live streaming on 3cr.org.au, and we're talking about old shows, a bit of history from Living Free. And the next one we're going to play is an excerpt from a show from 1999 when Living Free was called Stone Free. So it's about 6 minutes, so I hope you enjoy it, and we'll have a chat afterwards.
This is 3CR. That was the Healing Song. Hi, I'm Outback Bob here with Jobster, Celia and Ross. We're talking about recovery from drug addiction and alcoholism. And one important thing we need to realise in recovery from this disease is that it's really important to just take it one day at a time. And just for today is a really important concept in staying drug-free and alcohol-free. Joby, what's your opinion on the one-day-at-a-time theory?
Well, I mean, for me, it's... I don't know, I suppose for one way for me to put it, one day at a time, is that I've got the rest of my life to use if I want to, but for just this one day, I will stay clean.
Yeah, that's good.
You know, if I want to pick up, as I said, I've got the rest of my life to do it, but for now, but for today, I'm not going
to. You just don't have to today.
No.
You can tomorrow.
Well, it's always going to be there.
Yeah. And when you wake up in the morning, you do the same thing again.
That's right.
Yeah.
Always today.
Celia, what's your idea on just for today and, you know, not using one day at a time?
I guess really sometimes it has to be one moment at a time, because if you start thinking that you can't use drugs or alcohol for the rest of your life, you know, it can become quite daunting. So,
yeah, it can be daunting.
Yeah. So really just taking it one moment at a time, you know, I'm just not using now, you know, then it becomes quite possible to do it. And I'd heard the one day at a time concept, you know, when I was trying to stay clean, and never really understood it until I was actually doing it. You know, when those hard days came along, then it really had to come into my life, like, okay, I'm going through pain at the moment. This is really hard. I want to use drugs, but just for today, I'm not going to do it, and we'll see how I feel tomorrow. And it really gets you through those hard days. And then, you know, you might wake up the next day and feel completely different, and you think, thank God I didn't do it.
Yeah, sometimes one day is too long, and just one moment can be really handy. Ross, you've just reached your two-year milestone, I believe. Congratulations,
Yay.
Ross.
Thanks. That day it was two.
Yeah, well done, mate. I mean, a day at a time, of course.
It was a hard day too, but
yeah,
I got through it.
Good
stuff.
I woke up
with a feeling that I had to celebrate, and I didn't know how I was going to celebrate.
Well, that's the hardest part, isn't it?
So I
can't do what we used to do.
I thought about going to the gym, but I didn't want to work on that day. But my idea of one day at a time is probably like, if I go thinking about tomorrow, and yesterday, I'm pretty lost. You know, I've got an addictive nature. I've got a problem with alcohol, and if I confuse my brain about what's going to happen 10 years down the track, or 10 weeks down the track, or 10 days down the track, or tomorrow, well, and what's already happened yesterday and 5 days ago, well, my addictive nature will seek the release of a drug straight away, and so I've got to curb it. One day, keep it just for today. And if today is too much for me, I'll just keep it for this moment. You know, I'll just worry about this moment. If I can get through this moment without letting the crap in my head take control, which it used to easily, but now I've picked up some tools about how to handle situations, and I don't really give a stuff about yesterday no more, because it's gone, and I don't really care about tomorrow. But I want to somewhere down the track be comfortable and successful at what I do, but I can't worry about that. All I could do is worry about today and not pick up a drug, and eventually things will get better, and down the track I know I'll be successful in what I do, but I've just got to worry about today.
Yeah, that's important. Yeah, you are the power of example in the room today, and we are all very early recovery, and you know, this is a disease, you know, and it's a disease that we can't be ignored. It's a disease with no known cure that can only be arrested on a daily basis, and I think that's important too. But
I think it's kind of like, instead of like one day being a holdout, you find that it's like a day full of a lot of tiny little knockbacks. You know what I mean? Like what I don't know, say 9:30, you're hanging out, you feel like picking up a drug, but if you just hold out for maybe half an hour, that feeling passes.
Sure.
And you'll maybe go through that, say, 3 or 4 or 5 times in one day.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's not actually like one day of abstinence or one day of holding out. It's like it's a day full of, you know,
doing it lots and lots of
times.
Yeah,
lots and lots of times in one day. You know,
It's a day full of moments where you have to fight to get through it, and that's what it's all about. It's all about learning how to handle your feelings without drugs or alcohol on a daily basis or on every moment. If you learn to get through these feelings, eventually you'll learn how to cope with without alcohol or drugs, and I feel that way now. I think, why did I waste so much time, you know? And,
yeah.
Well, I'm not about to waste no more.
That's it.
You've probably become a better man having been through that and getting over it than what you would have been had you have not gone through it, don't you think, Connie?
Yeah, I've been through it, but I mean, it wasn't necessary to go as far as I did. I knew at the age of 25 that I didn't want this life. I mean, this is not it. I don't spend every waking moment of my life looking for ways to get out of it. So if I'd have been around and known how to do this at the age of 25, which is a fair while ago, I would have been well on the way. I'd have been to where I was going, but now it's just a journey and it's a day at a time. Oh.
Definitely. Ah, and that was the Stone Free Show from 1999.
Anyway, if anyone wants to give us a call to raise any issues or...
And now I stopped it.
We're still the Stone Free Show from 1999.
Michael, they were talking about a few things there, mainly one day at a time.
Yeah.
1 minute at a time, 1 second at a time, and also talking about our addictive natures. So do you want to talk about one day at a time?
Yeah, it was interesting that they talked about how new they were in sobriety or recovery, and they sounded like it. Like that is that sort of hanging on, the fingernail sort of recovery, where they've obviously still got the obsession of the mind, because they're making a decision not to do something in short periods of time. And so my experience with a day at a time actually is that through doing the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, I found out that my life's run by fear, and the language in the book Alcoholics Anonymous talks about it being a corrosive thread through my life, and it's the things that I fear are the things I don't know what's going to happen in the future, but also the consequences of the past. Will I catch up with me? Yeah, because and so the program actually gives me an opportunity to clean up my past, and go back and do the best of my ability. You know, some people forgive me, some people don't, whatever, but there's process to do it, so I'm not sitting there worried about that. And then the program also gives me an opportunity that I can plan, but I can try and stay in the moment. And fear isn't in the moment. And that's the thing. Fear is the thing that drives my thinking. Because I have a negative self-talk that tells me I need relief. I need relief. I need relief. And staying in the moment or staying in the day at a time is really about removing the need to have to even think about my addictive behaviour. I haven't. That's my experience of a day at a time. But it's taken time to get to that. To go, if I don't fear about the future, I have some faith around the fact that it seems to be that everything keeps turning out okay when my motives are good and when my actions are clean. And when I live a life that's based on others and I'm honest and I'm not so selfish and all the things that created the problems in the first place.
Yep.
It seems to work out okay.
Yeah. I think it's understanding that I have these defects of character and I can either act on them or I can go, no, they're the things that bring me in conflict with other people. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I exercise my choice that either I'll deceive people or I'll go, no, actually that was me. Sorry.
Yeah, you have these moments that they're step 6 and 7 moments where you're given the opportunity for the character defect. You ask for the character defect to be removed, and then you're given an opportunity or a choice about whether you're going to act out or not. And, you know, I take my mum to a commitment on a Wednesday morning, and some mornings it's cold and miserable and whatever, and I go, will I do it or won't I? And it's a commitment I have to my mother, but I'm selfishly making a decision based on how I'm feeling right that minute. And I have a choice right that minute.
Yeah.
And if I choose to do it, what I find out is we have a good time and we go and do it. And it doesn't matter how freezing cold it is. But if I choose not to do it, I sit there and sweat on the fact that I made a poor choice and that I've let her down and this and the consequences of.
Yeah.
And so I'm given choices today where previously I just didn't think of I had a choice. I would always act in my own self-interest.
Yep. Yeah. And I think the other one about one day at a time is that, you know, if you break it down to 1 minute at a time, is I can get through this day. You know, I don't have to stress about this thing if I don't want to. It's all in the head.
Oh, I'm not that important. Like, yeah, there's nothing. Right. I'm not so important that any decision. Like, it's like when someone rings and asks you a question, and then being able to say, I'll get back to you.
Yeah.
Like, rather than having to make a decision right there on the spot, because I'm so important.
And I'm so all-knowing.
Yeah, and that's right. And just, I'll get back to you. And it's such a simple sentence, and it relieves things. But I had no idea, or saying I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, I would make something up rather than say I don't know. And those little character defects, which are driven by fear of what other people think, that it looks like I haven't got my life together, they're all driven by fear.
I can remember, my dad would, when he'd been drinking, he'd talk to me, and he'd often talk about my mother and tell me things about my mother I didn't want to hear. And I sort of learnt in Al-Anon, there's a thing called changing channels, just talk about another subject. And, you go off and you've got this choice. You can just, it's like listening to the radio. You just have something else for a little while, and then things turn bad there.
Yep.
And so you turn to another channel. And the other one was, my family, when Dad used to say something outlandish, one of my sisters or I or my mother would say, you're a bloody idiot. Who thinks like that? And I learned that all I had to say was, I've never thought about it like that, Dad. Being uncritical awareness, like, it's a crazy thing. I've never thought that, but not criticizing him for it.
Oh, wow.
Meant that I didn't feel bad about it.
Imagine if the world did that to Trump. Yeah. They didn't react to everything he said. They just said, I haven't thought of it in that way.
Yeah, crazy. righto. Coming up in the next couple of months, we've got Radiothon.
Yep.
Next month, which we'll be preparing for and asking for donations. And then in July, we've got the 50th anniversary of 3CR. And like the show today, we're going to be putting together a bit of archival material and trying to bring back some of our previous hosts and see if we can get them on the show and have a bit of a chat about the history of Al-Anon. Unfortunately, a lot of them, many of them have died. I know Peter Fraser's died. He died a few years ago. Jude moved to Queensland. I took over from Jude. But we do have contact with a few other people, and we hope to have them on the show and have a bit of a chat about the history and try and build up a bit of history about living free and stone free.
Yeah, like I've been on the show now for 15 months, and the history is just amazing, because I had no understanding of the background of the show. Like, I'd just come on and chat to people in the same way that I would do it in normal life and in AA. But to know that there's a history to the whole program, and even listening to that today, like, that's new to me. And to go, oh, actually, that banter stuff works. I listen to people talk like that anyway.
Yeah.
And so there's lots of different ways that, and I imagine the show sort of changed a bit over the time that it's been done.
Well, each host brings their own flavour, I guess, to it. And when I took over, I sort of, I'm not a natural speaking. I don't engage with people a lot. And when Jude sort of suggested I come on the show, I said, I'm not really big. I'm not a big talker. And she said, you don't have to talk. You just have to ask a question and listen. Yep. And I'm like, I can do that. Yeah.
No, that's right. I said it's I'm looking forward to hearing more about it, even in the other programs on the station, just because everybody will be doing the same stuff. They'll be digging out some stuff on their past, and some of the shows like have been running for
50 years.
It's like I was in that meeting where they were talking about the archives and everything else, and I had no idea of the history of it, and I know there's a book and there's a lot of other stuff around, so no, I'm looking forward to the next for that month of July to catch up on 50 years of what's been happening.
I started 10 years ago, just after the 40 years had happened, or when the 40 years was happening, but so I had no real appreciation at that point.
It's an amazing place. I've enjoyed the time I've been hanging out here and meeting the people here and watching. There's a real passion around the radio station. I don't necessarily agree with all the opinions, but I'm happy to ride the wave of passion that everybody has about their opinions.
Yeah.
And I find it's opened my world. Like I say, this is the last 15 months of hanging out here.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very accepting. Yeah.
You bet.
Yeah. Okay, well, I guess we'll think about wrapping up. And we usually do a sort of a shout-out to people about things that are coming up and how you can contact people. But what I might do is I might just play a community service announcement about Alcoholics Anonymous. And, yeah, here we go.
Is drinking costing you more than money? Alcoholics Anonymous provides a free and anonymous recovery service to anyone who wants to call it quits. Join millions of other alcoholics worldwide and take your first brave steps toward a new beginning. There are thousands of AA meetings happening every week across Australia. If you'd like to find your closest meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous or have any questions regarding this tried and tested treatment for alcoholism, call 1300 AAAAA, that's 1300 22 22 22, or visit aa.org.au. This community service announcement is sponsored by Alcoholics Anonymous.
Okay, we'll wrap up here. I hope you'll be able to join us again next week when Anne will be talking to Chris about his recovery in Al-Anon family groups. Coming up next, we've got Balanoir, The Spirit of Wah, hosted by Uncle Talgum Choco Edwards. Join Uncle Choco and The Spirit of Wah on a journey of belonging and movement through sing-alongs and yarns. Thanks for listening. Stay safe and stay tuned now for more Radical Radio on 3CR.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.